I'm a pastor in the LCA, and I just got done with my first call in Moorhead, Minnesota, at a large ELCA church there called Trinity Lutheran, and it was a two-year first call as part of the Transition into Ministry program, which is a Lilly Foundation-funded program, and it's run by a group called Fund for Theological Education, FTE. And I had a good experience there, but I also definitely was still kind of discerning like where my place in the church is and whether I want to be at a large church or, you know, a solo pastor right now. Because I've always felt kind of called to do some more entrepreneurial things. And the church has always said, hey, we really want, you know, entrepreneurial minds as a part of our church. But I've struggled to figure out where that fits in the church structure. And now, being a time of a lot of change and transition in the church, I think there's more room for it. And so part of my journey has been deciding to share some ideas and write some proposals in the last couple of years, especially towards the end of my time at Trinity, and just see if people were interested in any of those ideas. And when it looked like people were kind of interested in those ideas, I realized, shoot, I had better save up all my money, because it's probably going to take some time to figure out where this fits in the church, even if it's an idea that kind of has some backing. So that's pretty much what I did. As soon as it looked like, especially this living learning proposal, which is on the yellow sheet that you have, started to kind of take off and get interest, or you might have, you can go grab some more. As soon as there started to be some interest in some of these ideas, I realized I was going to make kind of a personal investment to get them going. And because I have developer status in the LCA, which means you can start new churches, I'm proposing that in the LCA as a developer, I could work to develop a new ministry for young adults. So it's not really the classic model, but the church has been pretty good about working with me and kind of helping me move the idea forward. But one thing that I decided that I wanted to do if I was waiting for a call was to work on developing that idea, and also to have an experience where I was able to connect with the church kind of across the whole country and get kind of an idea of where the ELCA specifically was at this, you know, really interesting time, both in our culture and in the church. So that's what I kind of want to share at the start here, is just kind of walk through this really, you know, interesting, fun, challenging experience of driving across the country and connecting with people in ministries. It was a great experience, and I'm kind of at the tail end of it, and Holden is kind of one of the spots I was really hoping to connect with, so it's great to be here. I just kind of want to talk about that experience, and then talk about where some of the ideas that I was hoping to foster through these trips and through these connections are at now, and then hopefully, you know, maybe have some questions and ideas about connections that I don't have yet, you know, that might relate to these ideas for ministry. And please, you know, as I'm kind of going through the trip, just, you know, throw in any questions anytime, and it's good to know you guys are live out there, and I like that reminder, so that would be great. Just if you have questions, feel free to shout it out. First of all, like, a couple guides for me on this trip was a saying from Martin Luther, everything that is done in this world is done by hope. I think it's a good saying for this time in the church when there's a lot of anxiety and people are trying to figure out, you know, where do we go from here? And it's a card that my mom sent me when I started my first call. My mom is really good at, like, finding the right phrase or card, you know, at the right moment for me. And that's one that's definitely stuck with me. And then the other verse that's been really important on this trip and in my life is be strong and of good courage. So it was really interesting and fun that I can't remember who led the matins my first day here, but that was her verse that she talked about. So kind of a fun connection for me. The purpose of this trip was just, you know, listening and sharing while visiting friends in ministry. And I actually had a grant from the Lilly Foundation called a vocational friendship grant to connect with friends and talk with them about where they were at in ministry. And usually people use it to like go to a Packer game or something like that with their friends. And so the idea of actually doing something that was a little more meaningful, actually, people were like, we don't usually do that. But I was able to get a grant to do this this trip and use that money to buy meals for my friends so that we could sit down together and talk. And that was a great experience. And in the process, we shared ideas. We shared where they were at in ministry, where I'm at in ministry. And I was always kind of listening for ways that we could work together. And the phrase I like to use is forward the kingdom, forward the kingdom together. But also part of this trip has been recognizing the brokenness of our church right now, the ELCA right now, which is something that's kind of facing a lot of churches, especially mainline churches, kind of the separation over sexuality issues and just other kind of conservative liberal tension. And I definitely, saw that, while I was traveling as well, and something that that was something that I was paying attention to. And another thing, like I said, from my announcement at lunch, I wanted to see if not being paid by one specific kind of interest group and not having one specific thing that I was working on, but rather having a broader perspective about mission and ministry in our church would help me get more done and kind of forward these ideas faster. And for the most part, I think that is what's happened. So it's been really cool. The conversations that I was specifically working on were these that are listed on the green sheet. Thinking about the future of the church, not just the ELCA, but the future of the church in general. What is its role in society as the culture is changing so rapidly? And also, I was letting people know about the fact that there was a LIFT task force in the ELCA, and the LIFT task force stands for Living into the Future Together. And the specific idea and purpose behind that is to be listening to the whole church, kind of a similar thing that as to what I was doing, but listening to the whole church and thinking about where specifically we should be going in the next 5 years, and really saying everything's on the table. And there could be some radical changes in church structure based on this, but the sad thing is, like, hardly anybody knows about it. And so this summer, it was great to talk with especially staff members here and lead some informal sessions talking about that and letting people know that it was out there. Another thing was that I was interested in is fostering culture change in the church by connecting emerging young adult networks. So kind of listening to where these interesting communities are kind of rising up and then figuring out how to connect them. And I was kind of approaching that with a community organizer background. I was recently trained as a community organizer, and part of the principles of community organizing are, meeting one-to-one with people, listening to their passions and interests, and figuring out where they connect with other people's passions and interests. And so as I was traveling, I was meeting with these different people and kind of treating the whole church, not just the ELCA, but also, the church as a whole, as this kind of community, and listening for where connections could be made, which was a big part of the trip as well. But I was specifically thinking about young adult ministry in those conversations and connections. And then the living learning communities, like I said, there's some sheets up here, and the yellow sheet describes the living learning communities. That's kind of my passion right now. I think that's going to be my next call. And as part of this trip, I was visiting similar programs and ministries around the country, getting an idea of how they did living learning communities or how they did great books programs, because the idea behind these young adult living learning communities would be to create a program that's similar to something that existed here in the 1970s called Christian Lifestyle Enrichment. And the idea behind that was a model that used both a Scandinavian folk high school model that was based on learning from the community around you and recognizing that everyone was kind of a teacher and everybody was a learner within a community. And then also a great books model that that was based on reflection around reading text together and conversational learning. So this kind of learning for learning's sake model that was like a one-year gap year program existed here at Holden in the 1970s. And I grew up around alumni of that program because my parents helped facilitate that here at Holden. And I just always wanted that experience for myself. And so that's why I'm kind of passionate about this ministry, is because I really want this, you know, experience to exist for future generations. And so I'm trying to get that started, so other people can have that type of learning experience. And I know Siri's been to, you know, folk high schools and spent a year at a folk high school in Norway, and that was an important experience for you. And maybe other people have had experiences like that too, but love to hear about it if that's the case. But I was able to visit a lot of sites and places that did similar ministries and had similar programs. I was also looking for potential sites, like host communities for these living learning communities across the country, and had already started conversations with several places, but actually several communities emerged during the course of this trip, which was really fun. And I was also kind of developing a network of advisors, people that could help prepare a curriculum and kind of plan this new educational system, you know, with me, so that I'm not jumping into this all on my own. And I felt like that was really important before I kind of took a call to do this on my own. I am still a little bit intimidated, but it's great to know that there's people that are plugged into this conversation and communities that are plugged into this conversation, so that I don't feel like I'm trying to start something completely new by myself. But it's been an interesting process. And then I was working on networking and developing an idea for a cooperative social network for Christians. And there's a lot of kind of conversation about social networking, and by social networking I mean interactive web sites, and examples of that would be Facebook, Wikipedia, and we don't really have anything like that for the Christian community to connect. Some people are like using Facebook, but because of a lot of the things going on in the church right now, I think that having some type of social networking that's accessible for individual people and for congregations to communicate with each other would be hugely beneficial. And the problem is that I don't want every individual denomination to like work on their own idea for that and spend a lot of money doing it, and then it being like a Facebook knockoff that no one uses, you know. I really want to avoid that. So what I'm trying to do is bring people into a conversation about what if we work together to create a template for this social network, and then we could be speaking the same language as well and be talking across denominations about ideas, about connections. And that's really exciting for me, and that's another thing that I've been kind of advancing through this trip. Another thing that I did on this trip is just ask people on the trip, what does church mean to you? And I got a lot of really interesting responses to that. And, you know, I'd be interested if some of you would think about, you know, how you would respond to a question like that. What does church mean to you? I got some great responses to that. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the media equipment to try to put all that stuff together, but I'm hoping to do kind of a more of a multimedia presentation with some of the pictures and video and responses to questions like that. I just wanted to kind of walk through, you know, some of the places I've been on this trip. Really, this trip started in, you know, at Holden Village in the Northwest during August. And like I was saying, I was able to present and talk with a lot of staff members here at Holden about the future of the church and the living learning ideas when I was here in August. I worked in laundry, and my boss was Ashley, who was a part of the Orion Extension, which is like a program that's kind of similar to what I'm working on, so that was really cool. And also the one church in the Northwest that I wasn't going to be able to visit was Central Lutheran in Eugene. That was one of the potential sites that I've been working with in the Pacific Northwest, and I was able to visit the other ones, but I wasn't going to be able to go to Eugene. And then 20 people from Central Lutheran were at Holden the same week I was, and so we got a chance to talk, and they were at the presentations, and it really forwarded that conversation. So there's been all sorts of kind of serendipity kind of moments like that that I hope are, you know, the spirit at work connecting people to this idea. So that was great. And I also got to lead a session about the living learning communities with James's dad, Kit Nagel, who was a presenter here at Holden that week, and also was a part of my parents' program. So that was a great start to it. And then I also visited sites in Edmonds and Everett and talked to some people in Seattle during August. And then I went back home to the Midwest in September, and I stayed with my parents, and that was kind of a good experience for me too, because they had been the leaders of the program here at Holden, and so they were a really good resource to be thinking about, you know, where does this, you know, program go from here, and helping me think about its development. I also sat in on a teacher named Jamie Lorenzen's AP Lit class for 3 weeks, so I went back to high school, which was an interesting experience. It was pretty fun, actually, and I was thinking about that, both kind of learning from this teacher's style, because I really respect him, but also thinking, you know, this is the age group that I'm going to be working with, and, you know, where are they at right now, and how is it different than what I remember, you know, from being in high school? And that was a great experience as well. I also visited a Labrie community. How many people are familiar with Labrie? Ever heard of Labrie communities? Labrie communities started with a guy named Francis Schaefer and his wife, Edith Schaefer? I'm trying to remember her name. But it started in Switzerland, and now there's 8 communities across the world. And they're communities for young adults, and the experience for young adults are based on questions. Young adults go there with their questions about faith, and are able to live in community with each other and also kind of explore those questions. And so it's a place that people that are kind of on the fringes of, you know, Christian faith as young adults have really benefited from. And one of them happened to be in Rochester, Minnesota, so I was able to visit that place and talk to some of the leaders and think about them as a resource, you know, as these communities develop. I also went with Will Childs to visit a pastor friend of mine, Charlie Rudd, who was up here this summer. I don't know if anybody remember him, but he's great, a great guy, and he was the pitcher for the St. Paul Saints all through seminary, and has all the Saints pitching records. But he's also like this great compass for me. He always kind of asked me challenging questions about, why are you doing this? What's the point? And so he's been. I wanted to kind of talk with him at the beginning, and then now at the end we've been talking again about what it is I've been up to. And then I also visited with Gordon Marino, who's a Kierkegaard scholar at St. Olaf College, and I want Kierkegaard to be a part of the curriculum for the Living Learning Community, so I'm happy that he's kind of an advisor to it. I was also able to present at the Mission and Ministry Forum at Luther Seminary on the LIFT proposal that I wrote for the LIFT Task Force, which involved recognizing Lutheran theology as missional, social media ideas, and being a church that's known for loving young adults. Those were kind of the three main points. So it also fit with the living learning conversation and some of the other stuff I've been working on. But that was a great experience. I also talked with a friend of mine that works for Luther Seminary Admissions and found out that Luther Seminary was working with all the other seminaries in the ELCA, talking about how they could cooperate in order to form young adult networks across the church, which was exactly what I was interested in doing, and found out, wow, this is great, that, you know, seminaries within the ELCA actually cooperating. Like, people don't cooperate across the church very often in general, so it was kind of a great to hear that, but also it fit in with where I was going, because they'd selected Los Angeles, Chicago, and Boston as the first sites, and those were places where I was going, so I was able to investigate, you know, what it would be like to, you know, create those networks in those specific locations by meeting with leaders, and so that's something that, you know, right at the start of the trip, I was able to get plugged into, and then I went to a Twins game with Luther Seminarians, and I wrote the. We were so sure that the Twins were going to win the World Series at that point, and that did not happen. Also, the Vikings were going to have a great year. That also did not happen. And I was also able to go to an Arcade Fire tour opener. And going to concerts with friends was a big part of this trip as well, plugging in especially with concerts with Christian musicians and people that are kind of asking challenging faith questions and spiritual questions to a young adult population. In Arcade Fire, there's kind of a backstory with that, with me, because the last time I really had an opportunity to take a big risk and do something different in the church. It was like my first year of seminary, and my friends, my friend that was at McGill in Montreal, which is a school I also applied to, kept recruiting me, trying to get me to go up there, and to be kind of like a house church leader for college students there. And he kept telling me about these two guys that came into parties and had these conversations about the same things that I cared about. And especially like the understanding of the neighborhood, because I had worked on an idea for a social network idea called The Neighborhood when I was here at Holden in January of 99. And I'd always kind of talked about that idea. And it turned out that these two guys were the two guys that started Arcade Fire, the band. And I just always kind of felt like, boy, that, and especially the last years, I've kind of reflected on that decision and felt like God was really setting something up for me to be a part of that community and kind of minister to that group of people in Montreal. And I didn't do it because I was afraid. You know, I was afraid to do something too different and take a risk. And so that's one of the reasons I'm doing this, is because I wanted to take a risk. I wanted to do something different. But it was kind of cool that Arcade Fire was playing there at that time, so I got to participate in that as well. And then conservative seminarians at Luther Seminary prayed over my car when they found out that I was going on this cross-country trip, and they saw my car. And that was really funny, a funny experience. I was hanging out with my friend, and most of his friends were like conservative seminarians that were talking about going to these, you know, other church organizations that are emerging now that are more conservative, and we might have some theological differences. You know, I might have some differences with them, but it was kind of fun that they reached out in that way and, you know, asked for a blessing on my car. It's pretty funny. October is really when I took off on this trip. I visited my cousin, Allison, in Madison. I visited seminarians in Chicago, and one of the ideas that emerged from my time at LSTC, the seminary in Chicago, was a social entrepreneurial idea of loaning money to a friend of mine who could produce T-shirts for LSTC, because right now they don't have any, like, you know, bookstore or anything like that. They've got nothing that, you know, has any sense of pride in that community. You know, no T-shirt, nothing. And so I thought, well, maybe we could do like some kind of social entrepreneurial loan, where, you know, I could put some money forward so that you could produce those things, and then kind of get paid back as, you know, during the course of many years. And it's kind of cool, because I've always kind of wondered whether that would be a better way to do mission in the church and to start new ministries, would be to have some type of social entrepreneurial funding, you know, that you could put forward to new ideas. And so it was great that, like, early on in this trip, I was able to kind of put forward an idea to do that. And then one of the communities that I went to that I really want you guys to know about was in Three Rivers, Michigan, and it's called Culture Is Not Optional. And it was kind of an arts and literature community around the church, and they've got a great website, and they also publish books, and they also just bought an old school in this town of Three Rivers, Michigan, and they're turning it into a community center, and they want it to be also kind of a semester program for college students in Michigan. But it's just it's a fantastic community. I really love being there. And I think it's their website is just chino.org, but it's definitely a place to check out. I also visited a friend in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who is part of a church that's also a music venue, which is just really cool. And I got to see that my friend Jesse is just an amazing preacher. And that was such a fun thing to see, you know, when you're visiting friends in ministry and just kind of be able to see them actually participating and leading worship and preaching. And it's something that pastors don't get a chance to do very often, because we're always preaching at our own church. So that was a great opportunity. In Valpo, Valparaiso, I was able to visit my brother and sister-in-law, Dorothy Bass, who's kind of a Holden person that's come up here a lot. Fred Niedner, who's also taught here, Elizabeth Lynn, who runs the Project on Civic Reflection, which does kind of the curriculum for AmeriCorps and other organizations, and it's based on great books. It's based on reflection on text as a way to connect about the meaning of doing service projects and working together. And so she's a great person and a great connection, and that's a really interesting program as well, the Project on Civic Reflection. And then I met James Nagel there. I don't know if you Facebooked me or I Facebooked you or something like that, but found out that James was in town, and we met on campus, and I forced him to do a handstand outside of the cathedral or the church there. I can't remember what it's called. The Chapel of
Resurrection.
The Resurrection. Yeah. And so it was kind of fun to run into Holden people, and then we found out we were both going to the same concert, Sufjan Stevens concert up in Detroit. So we met up again there. And then I went down to Indianapolis, and I met with somebody named Verity Jones, who is in charge of a new grant from the Lilly Foundation that's called the New Media Project, which is also a really interesting kind of new thing that most people don't know about. But the New Media Project is going to be housed at Union Seminary in New York, and it's going to be studying exactly kind of what I was interested in social media in terms of, you know, how does the church use social media, and how can that help us do ministry? And so she's doing, she's going to be in charge of that, and I think that starts in this summer, I think. But I was able to talk with her right after she found out she was receiving that award and was going to be in charge of that project, so that was a cool conversation. Inglewood Christian Church was it's not an ELCA church, I think it's Disciples of Christ, but a really, really cool church in Indianapolis where they are really planting themselves in a neighborhood. They all live in the same neighborhood, and it's kind of an inner city neighborhood, and they are kind of buying up property and really starting kind of this new sense of hope within that community. And it was just one of the more interesting conversations I had was with leaders of that church, and, you know, praying together with them and talking to them about what they were up to. And they also have a press called Inglewood Press at that location. That was really cool. Toledo, Ohio, I visited a clergy couple, old friends from Luther Seminary, and visited their church, St. Paul's Lutheran, in downtown Toledo. And that definitely became a potential living learning site. Not one that I planned on, but when I found out they were at this giant church that used to be like, I don't know, 6,000 members. It was like the flagship for the old ALC churches. And it's right in the middle of downtown Toledo. It's got a four-story parish house, a gym, all these, you know, cool features, you know, for a church building. And then the inside just looks like kind of like an English manor house. You could just totally, you know, see yourself pulling up a chair and reading a book. And just as a whole, it was just kind of like this space that really captured my imagination. I could really imagine young adults there, because it almost felt like the professor's house in Narnia, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I just could see people like really loving, you know, that as like a living learning space. So they also have a lot of financial resources, and so there's a lot of potential for being there. And Toledo just is kind of cool because it's like, it's not all that flashy a place, you know. But I really, with these living learning communities, I really want people to think, you know, this could happen where I live. So having a site in Toledo actually would be kind of cool for that, because, well, if it can happen in Toledo, maybe it can happen anywhere, you know. So that's kind of a cool site. Also Holy Toledo, you know, and it's actually called Holy Toledo because there's more steeples there per capita than any other city in the country. But they're all these old aging churches, you know, and so it's just an interesting place. So Detroit Mission, went to the Sufjan Stevens concert. It was amazing. Visited a friend in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that's a pastor in a rural context. Went up to Boston, Massachusetts, and stayed with my friends Matthew and Heidi Martin. Matthew is a pastor at Faith Lutheran. Really interesting place to visit if you're in Boston. They have the most amazing like garden behind their church space. It's just incredible. It's like this I don't know, like Versailles or whatever, you know, it's like this just intricate garden, just incredible place to like sit and just meditate and pray, and amazing place if you're ever in Boston. I was also at the Bishop's Convocation in somewhere in Massachusetts. I can't remember what the name of the town was, but it was for everybody, all the pastors and ministers in the New England Synod, which is like 7 states. And I got to present to, you know, the Mission Task Force and a bunch of other people, and got land offered to me to maybe start this. You know, the first night I was there, they were like, well, we've got this land in Vermont. And I was like, oh, okay, great. But you know, that's still kind of a possibility for a site as well. I visited with a friend in Nashua, New Hampshire, who does a ministry called By the Way, which is kind of like a virtual church. It's an online community for people that maybe wouldn't go to a church or visit a church, but have some theological questions. And so having like an online site where people can raise questions and kind of continue a conversation about faith and spirituality is kind of an interesting outreach that that my friend is doing there. Another really cool connection, this is also a Holden connection. Coming back from the Bishop's Convocation, I was like really like excited and also kind of scared, because I was realizing this could actually happen. You know, I could actually be leading this new ministry. And coming back, I really wanted to share that with family. I had this sense of like wanting to share it with family. And I was visiting a friend of the family, and it was kind of like visiting family away from home. I got there, and this friend of mine's cousin was there, and we started talking about the ideas, you know, that I was working on and stuff. And it turned out that the cousin was the president-elect of the National Council of Churches. And she's also somebody that has a pretty deep connection to Holden. She came to Holden as a interim student, you know, J-term student, in the late 90s, and refused to go home. She just said she was going to stay and quit the school thing for a while and just stay and try to work on staff. And she ended up staying for 2 weeks and then saying, okay, I'll go back to school, and ended up going back to school. But kind of a cool connection. She might be a cool person to have out here sometime. But her name's Catherine Laurie, and the National Council of Churches is this organization that's been around for about 100 years, connecting, you know, different denominations. So
she's Lutheran?
Yeah, she's ELCA. Her husband is pastor at campus pastor at MIT. Hmm. Yeah. And we also found out, I think I'd heard this before, had forgotten it, that her mom is in my dad's poetry class. And so that's kind of cool. And then I visited New Haven, Connecticut, visited with some local pastors, including this woman who once, like, at a convention, like, told me that I was supposed to go to New England, and that there was some kind of connection with New England. It was really weird at the time. But then, you know, I thought back about that, you know, when I was working on these ideas, and was thinking, well, I'm just going to check and see if New England is interested in any of these ideas. And by far, like, New England has been the most involved and encouraging, you know, of the synod. So maybe there was something to that, I don't know. But also visited the Yale campus ministry, and they have a Luther house there, and worshiped there, and presented to students and parents, and stayed with John Schwain and Anna Rohde there. And I think New Haven is another potential living learning site that could really work. I went back to Boston. I almost died on the way there because my brakes failed coming back through traffic, and I had to fix my brakes while I presented to, I got my car fixed while I was presenting the living learning community idea to Boston pastors, it was crazy because I'd heard that, you know, no one really showed up when the pastors in Boston got together for their conference meeting, and everybody showed up. So I was like preparing for like, you know, 5 or 6 people, and there's like this circle of, you know, 20 plus pastors, you know, grilling me, asking me tough questions. It was great. It was great, and it really helped Boston become another potential site. So. That was really cool. I went to New York and stayed with Andrew Schwartz, who's another Holden guy. at Union Seminary. I visited a couple churches there, talked with somebody that was a really cool person that was interested in living and learning, who was dressed as Princess Leia at a Halloween party, and she might help advise on music. She's one of the people I've talked to about music with these living learning communities. Then we went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania for something called Luther Bowl, and like all the Lutheran seminaries get together to play flag football on the old battlefields at Gettysburg every Reformation weekend. It's kind of cool. And I'd never been, so we figured, well, on the way to Washington, D.C., my two friends from Union came with me, and I was driving down to the Rally to Restore Sanity in D.C. the next day. And so we stopped at Gettysburg, and it was really funny because these two Union friends of mine, we met the group from Southern Seminary at on Gettysburg, and it was just kind of funny, Southern Union. You know, no animosity, they got along fine, but it was kind of cool. And then Washington, D.C., I stayed with Tom Childs, who was up here this summer, another Childs relative, and went to the Rally to Restore Sanity, which was kind of a fun event, not necessarily a church event, but kind of, I don't know, cool. And then I was in D.C. for Election Day, which was interesting, and while I was in D.C., I also met with another friend and talked with a guy named Don Johnson, who leads a program called Project Connect for youth and young adults in New England, and it's one of the best programs in terms of young adult network in the church. And I was able to talk to him about what the seminaries were doing, and he didn't know that was happening. And so that felt really cool to kind of bring those people into communication about how they could work together. So that was cool. I also went to a year of the Young Adult Conference in D.C. The D.C. Synod has declared this the year of the young adult, and they're in one of the parts of the country with the highest young adult populations. So they're doing a lot to try to reach out to that group of people. So that was an interesting conference to be at. The speaker was actually a Methodist from St. Louis. So I was not really, you know, denominational based, but it was really cool. Then I went down straight down to New Orleans, like basically drove straight down to get to this New Fire conference, which Catherine Laurie, the National Council of Churches person, had told me, their president-elect had told me about. And so I drove down there and was a part of that conference and a part of the National Council of Churches 100th anniversary gathering. And then on the way out of New Orleans, I stayed with some Katrina refugees that a pastor friend in Minnesota knew. Really interesting guy who loved Wisconsin. And since I was from Wisconsin, I thought that was really cool. But loves Wisconsin because their family went there as refugees, essentially. And he was a youth director there. And really would love to be a youth director, but there aren't all that many opportunities in Louisiana. And he had to move back to Louisiana in order to use the compensation that people, that the state had given for people that had property destroyed. So he's kind of in this weird place, but that was one of my favorite conversations with those guys in Louisiana. Just a few other things. I was able to meet with, I can kind of skim over this stuff, but I had a great conversation with a guy in Dallas, Texas, who's the executive director of something called Faith Village, which is the most ambitious social media project in the church right now. It's a multi-million dollar endeavor. It looks really good. They're like going for quality instead of just kind of something that, you know, could be used but might not be, you know, high end. So they're just kind of going all out, and it's an interesting site to visit. Faith Village and Faith Village I think it's .com actually, not .org. It's a cool thing. It's a little bit more evangelical. So I talked to him about my ideas about social media, and we felt like they weren't going to compete and could actually work together. So that was a really great conversation. Visited St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and had a great conversation with the admissions director and told her she should come visit Holden and set up the website on her computer so that she could check it out. And so we'll see if she actually comes up. But had a really good conversation with her. Stayed with friends in Phoenix, was in Los Angeles for quite a while, had some good conversations there. one funny thing is, like, there were four ELCA Joshes that were pastors or interns down there that I met. And so we started talking about starting a JELCA, Joshes of the ELCA. And so we're still in conversation about that. Might happen. But running into Josh Ritter up here, you know, there's Joshes all over the place. So kind of fun. I visited Thomas Aquinas College, which is a Catholic Great Books College in California near Los Angeles. Visited a friend in that had been a co-pastor with me in Moorhead, Minnesota. And her husband is going to a Jesuit seminary, not to become a priest, but to just kind of get a master's in theology. And they are really excited. They were actually going to go back east, but they got so excited about the idea of living in community with other Christian couples that they decided they were going to commit to doing that and stay in Berkeley. And that's really a trend that I've seen, you know, is that there's a lot of these living communities where people are living together and instead of kind of living out on their own. And that as part of an extension of a sense of Christian discipleship. And that was one of the examples of that. I visited the Oregon Extension in Ashland, near Ashland, Oregon. That was a great place, but I had to drive through like really, really snowy, icy weather to get there, and it was scary. And I was doing it at night, and I'm kind of glad because if it would have seen the ledge that I was driving past, would have totally freaked me out. But it was worth it because the Oregon Extension was so cool. If you know any college-age people that are interested in kind of having an intentional living experience, what Oregon Extension is, it's a semester program where you are reading Christian great books, essentially, but contemporary great books that are kind of challenging and ask, you know, challenging faith questions, and that's kind of part of what you do, but you also are able to focus on independent projects. And it's just a great program. Something to look up on Google. Tell your friends about it if you know anybody that would be interested in an experience like that. Just gorgeous setting in the mountains. Very similar to kind of a Holden kind of setting. And Chance and Ashley and two other people that might be up here on staff all were part of that program, so you can ask them more about that. Stayed with two more Joshes in Portland, visited a friend in Tacoma. There's another potential site there. Met with the Synod staff in Northwest Washington. Visited with people in Everett and Edmonds again, and came up to Holden. And yeah, but sleep at last, thank God Almighty, sleep at last, because yeah, I didn't realize I was so tired until I had a chance to really rest here, and that's been great. But I do appreciate the chance to kind of share some of the experience too. And if with any of the stuff that I brought up here, if you see any connections or have any questions, I'd love to connect with you on. I don't know what time it is here, but we got like 15 minutes before dinner. And just to kind of summarize where some of these things are at this point, like the future church, like I think a lot of people are interested in questions about that, but nobody really knows where we're going at this point. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are informing me about, you know, what some of the hopeful things in the church are right now, because I was able to, you know, connect with them on this trip. But I do definitely feel like it's still kind of this interesting question, you know, what is the church going to look like in this century? How is it going to be a part of the culture? How is it going to be different than the culture? A lot of really interesting questions that I feel like are in the air right now. The Young Adult Networks, there is going to be a young adult event this spring in Los Angeles, and I'm still kind of talking with them about how it could be connected to other networks across the country, because if there were multiple, you know, places, then you could kind of refer, you know, people that, you know, like if there's young adults and pastors in, you know, Seattle, they can refer, you know, people in Los Angeles to people they know that are in Los Angeles, rather than people in Los Angeles trying to figure out where the young adults are. It doesn't really work, you know, because young adults aren't just kind of showing up at churches. That's the whole issue, you know, so finding like that previous relationship you know, as a starting point really makes sense, I think, and having those referrals come in from across the country rather than just that specific location. The living learning community conversation is going really well. I feel like in the next month, I'm hoping to get a call and to really figure out the specifics of that. And I'm looking at some specific sites as potential pilot sites at this point, some that weren't on my map, you know, at the start, you know, are now, at the start of my trip, and they are now, so that's definitely been helpful. And then the social networking conversation has moved forward, right now I'm talking with three communities in the Pacific Northwest near Seattle, Church of the Beloved, which is an emerging church, Trinity Lutheran College, which is a small Christian liberal arts college, Mars Hill Graduate School, which is a theological graduate school that's independent and a little more liberal, and then Holden as potential partners in conversation about the living learning communities and what that might look like, and also what might a social network for Christians look like, and how might that be designed, and what would you want to be a part of it, and kind of developing that together rather than a bunch of people in a smoky room trying to figure out what is needed, like actually connecting to people that might use it as kind of the creative force behind developing it. So I'm excited for those conversations continuing and maybe continuing here at Holden. So that's where stuff is right now. Hoping to be back here in this area in the spring working on the living learning communities and the social networking idea. So yeah, that's gonna breathe and have a drink of water. Any questions? I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to peruse the yellow sheet that has some of the information about the living learning community, but I'd love to answer questions about that. I'd love to hear if there are other communities that are kind of, you know, a part of these conversations, or people that I should be talking to that you guys know about. Would be great to kind of hear some of that feedback. I don't know.
Where would you find the young adults that you're targeting?
I think, I try to use the structure, like the ELCA structure, as kind of a recruiting device, people that have had really good camp experiences on staff would be a good place to go to say, you know, would you like more, you know, a deepening, you know, faith experience to go a little bit deeper than what you're able to do on staff, you know, working with youth networks and youth directors to kind of find people that, you know, would like to have an experience like this, campus ministers who know, you know, college students that, you know, are looking for something different. And then we've got a lot of really good young adult programs in the ELCA and some that aren't necessarily ELCA, but that, you know, people and young adults in the church are connecting to. And maybe they would also like to have an experience like this. Like somebody maybe does a Lutheran volunteer corps year, which I think, you know, a lot of people know about because a lot of staff members here have been a part of that. But maybe they want to have more of a deepening of the faith experience and a learning experience to go on top of that kind of service-oriented experience. So maybe this could be a follow-up year. But in order to kind of move forward with it, I'm hoping for essentially like 50 recruits are from those different areas, kind of as that starter, that seed community. Holden Village is also a pretty good place to go to connect with young adults that might be interested in a different type of learning experience. Yeah, a big part of the plan would be having young adults connect where possible with local congregations and ministries, and to send people out two by two, essentially, you know, in a biblical model, to go into those congregations, ministries, and you know, hopefully get an appreciation of congregational life, but at the same time to be young adults that are present in that community, working on some specific ministry project, or connecting in some way that allows them to kind of see the richness of that congregational life. So it would be kind of that would be part of it. And in some cases, that might be, if you see on this list, that there's this idea of doing like some type of special, like specific learning experience. Based on your context would be part of this. And in some cases that might be spending more time connecting with local ministries and congregations, and maybe, you know, even to the point of like calling in an internship or something like that. Because yeah, it is really lacking in our churches, and I'm really curious and kind of hopeful for what it would be like to have a group of 12 to 20 imaginative, you know, ready to be engaged young adults connected in, you know, kind of have that group drop in the midst of a community, a local community of churches, and see what kind of effect it could have. For instance, like having a worship service, you know, for people that are part of that group, and then opening it up to the community. Having that critical mass of young adults that are gathered there might really help other young adults from the community want to participate and connect.
It is really ostracizing to go to, like, I go to church on Sunday, and I'm the only young adult that isn't married with kids.
Right.
And no one knows how to relate.
I know. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a huge issue, and that's like one of the hardest. Like single young adults is one of the groups that I think the church is maybe the worst at connecting with, and that's why this could be almost like a support system.
Right.
You know, having an experience like this and connecting with other people that are kind of like-minded, so you're not weird. You know. You know, would be, you know, a helpful thing. And, you know, I don't like thinking about specific outcomes for this.
Right.
But having young adults that have a deep faith experience to connect to and have this network, having them go out as relational leaders with their peers, and a sense of being ministers to their peers, could be, you know, one of the things that comes from this. And that's what I think we need the most in our church is, you know, those relational leaders that are out there doing ministry just out of their own lives, you know, wherever they're at, you know, whether they're at college or, you know, connected with a congregation or whatever.
So how do you cross the, so it looks, one, it sounds like one of your core values, if you're going to have, is that you're aiming at this age range.
Right.
How does that become cross-generational? Our church isn't one age, and that's part of the problem right now as we look together, moving together towards the future.
Right.
How would you bring that segregated group into the together,
right,
you know, or how would that be?
Like manifested, or how would you see it,
yeah,
kind of thing?
And how is people that participate in a program such as this, if they're going back, I guess my question is, why aren't they diversely aged groups? And you just answered that because you're feeling like this is a niche that is needed.
Yeah.
But then, how do they go back and connect with,
right,
their various communities that are very diverse?
Right. Yeah, I think,
in age,
you know, to have as part of the curriculum and the experience, conversations and experiences that help participants value that intergenerational understanding of church and of, you know, like congregations are one of the only places where people come together across, you know, age lines, and that's something that I think is really valuable. And I think finding ways to lift that up, for instance, like I think a primary model for leadership of this would be having a younger adult, like a seminary grad, facilitate this along with like a retired person. So you've got this co-leadership model that is intergenerational. Just kind of seeing that and experiencing that as part of this experience, I think, you know, would be one way. kind of value that. But I also think that something like this could be adapted for other groups. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of the primary model. And it would be interesting to have couples, you know, experience like this, to have, you know, an older generation, you know, experience like an elder diversity experience like this. You know, I think there's a lot of adaptations that could happen. What are some of the, like, lessons, you know, that you think might be something that I could add to a curriculum for young adults? You know, what are some of the conversations that have been important to you in your, you know, self-understanding and development as a whole person? Is there anything that you might add to a curriculum like this? Like Bobby and I were talking about music, and like having music be a part of the curriculum somehow, and how that could work, how that could be a part of it.
Yeah, I would. What I was going to say, and this definitely dovetails on that, is like a strong fine arts component, music, but also other aspects of fine arts, learning and appreciation, I think would be. And I heard this really interesting presentation on theological education a couple of years ago. Was that actually at Union Seminary? And one guy talked about the importance of fine arts, and often very neglected, and not simply for like worship, but for kind of appreciating beauty. In the world, and also internships in organizations or advocacy for that are engaged in people that are experiencing cultural oppression on some level, mm-hmm. and so that also being with people who are kind of on the ground involved in some sort of struggle, and that being in dialogue with books, etc.
Right. Yeah. In a way, kind of making the learning practical or you know, hands-on,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you know, seeing it in the real world.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that could be a strength of this program because it's more adaptable, because it's not on such a structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about, you know, what would a week or a day look like? And I'm kind of leaning towards keeping it more open for the community to be able to shape that timing, so that you can open up opportunities to connect with, you know, local communities and experience, you know, things as they come up too. Anybody I should be talking to that you guys know about? Anything similar to this that you can think of that might be a connection?
Teach classes on screen printing or languages or music classes and things like that. And it's basically, I think it came out of sort of a need for something for inner city kids who were being failed basically by public schools. ago, and they basically sort of recruited into the community as this place for kids to come learn and to teach each other. And I've never been there, but read an okay amount about it. And I actually have a book here called Everything, Everywhere, All the Time, that I've let you borrow. It's just a little essay about the place.
Cool.
And I have something else about it.
It's awesome.
I love hearing stories about people that are doing stuff like that.
It was actually a place that I had hoped to visit just because of the proximity being here. And I don't know if they will pull it off. But.
You know, also, I think as part of my own growth, wilderness experiences can be such a way of forging both community, conversation, leadership, and so I'm like, you know, having like a, I don't know what word you'd use, but a kind of a unit or whatever, you know, like, you know, 2 weeks in the Cascades,
yeah,
I'll be in Kirkwood or something,
right?
You know, but you know,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
yeah, that's cool, and I don't know, that's interesting because I don't know. Who does that? Oregon Extension does it like one trip,
mm-hmm.
You know, early on where they backpack for a week. And I know that reading is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I think, you know, Holden could be a really interesting place to try some of those things out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to do a couple this summer just because it's one option for when mine mediation happens.
Yeah.
It's going out into the wilderness. So we're going to try and do some pilot trips this week or this summer with teaching staff.
I love that. Did you guys know about that, or have you guys heard that? I think that's a really cool idea. Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions? Ideas? Connections? If nothing else, I hope this is kind of a way to inspire thinking creatively about the church and not just kind of assuming that it's going to always be the way it is. I'm hoping, you know, that some of the stuff that I'm doing is showing some, taking some initiative to, like, put up some alternative visions about what could be in the church and how it could be a center for creativity and new ideas. And I'm hopeful about that and love that people around Holden, you know, that's important to them, and they're always kind of pushing the boundaries and thinking of new ways to be church and do church and just being creative in general. That's something I really appreciate about this place, and hope that's a conversation that continues. So, if you have any questions or ideas or think of anything later, please let me know. But thank you very much for letting me share a little bit of this experience with you, and I really appreciate the time. Yeah.